games.
Cody.
You know what happened, right?
What's that?
There was a hooker spotted in Pittsburgh.
Jesus. That sounds so inappropriate.
Malik Hooker.
Welcome to the Steelers Better League podcast. My name is James, joined once again by the mildly inappropriate sometimes Cody. How are you today, Cody?
No, mildly inappropriate. Listen, there was a Malik Hooker spotted in Pittsburgh the other day.
That's very true.
I am great. Thank you for asking. How are you?
Oh, I'm good, man.
Strawberries looking good?
They're looking fantastic.
They do taste lovely. I had one.
So is my short game.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, we just did some putt-putt for the mother-in-law's birthday, and I had 3 hole-in-ones.
Ooh.
And 18 holes.
Solid.
Yeah, man. I was.
Did you win at least?
Oh, yeah. I crossed.
Oh, okay. Making sure.
It was bad.
If you got 2 holes-in-ones and you still lost,
no, I got
or 3 holes-in-one, yeah, and you still, that would have been impressive that you lost.
Yeah.
But good. Very good.
Dominance.
Dominance. Like Pittsburgh better do this year.
You're not supposed to beat your family like that, but boy, did I.
Oh, no. I'm mildly inappropriate. James over here beating the in-laws. All right. Let's go ahead and start off with Steelers by the Lake news. 3 new3 new Instagram likes this week.
Yeah, man. First one, Pittsburgh 2020 Steelers. Second one, Steelers 9039. And the third one, Alex Highsmith fan.
We are also Alex Highsmith fans.
That's true. Very true. We both like him a lot.
Yeah. We're excited to see what he has this year. I think the outside linebacker position on that side is not set in stone. But anyways, moving forward, we also have some more Steelers by the Lake news this week as we are entering the first recording technically, right? Or is it, it's technically the second. But first recording of the new month.
Yeah, and I'm going to argue with you. I think that is set in stone on the outside line.
I think, let me clarify, I think it could change during the year.
I think it could change next year, maybe, but I doubt it. I think Alex has it locked down. I will be stunned if it goes another way. Stunned.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so last month, a really nice month. Appreciate all the downloads, folks. First off, we'll talk about top states in the United States for downloads. First one was Pennsylvania. Big shocker.
Surprise, surprise.
Second one, Arizona. Not normally number 2.
Not normally number 2. All those new James Conner fans.
That's right, man. We'll Pittsburgh see. West
yeah.
Showing up. Ohio, number 3. California, number 4. And Florida coming in 5th place.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Worth noting, too, 3 different Canadian provinces last month. So we might as well rank them. Manitoba, number 1, British Columbia, number 2, and Ontario, number 3.
Thank you, Canada. We appreciate that. States. Top
countries.
States.
Countries.
Oh, countries, excuse me. We just went over states.
On to the countries.
Top countries. USA, number 1. No surprise there. Canada coming in number 2. Sorry. USA still winning.
USA. USA.
Sorry. Germany in at number 3, Argentina at number 4, and for number 5, if this country wants to sponsor a trip for James and I to come visit you guys, we'd be totally down. The Dominican Republic. We'd come hang out for a day or two.
Yeah, very true. That'd be nice down there. Also, really a big shout out to the Canadian fan base. You guys are growing every month, and we do really appreciate the increase in the continued support that you folks are showing us. No doubt about that. Now into Steelers news. Big Ben got behind a microphone, which is always good for conversation pieces.
Yeah, it's good for somebody.
It's good for us because there's not much to talk about this time of year otherwise. It's
very true. He had a lot to say, though.
Yes.
About someone specific, James.
Yeah, Mr. Dwayne Haskins.
Hey, I like it.
Yeah, and Ben likes that arm strength. There's no questioning that.
No, Ben quoted saying he could throw the ball through a car wash and have the ball not get wet.
That's fast.
That's some throw power.
Yeah, man.
That's like Mike Vick throw power.
Yeah.
That dude could throw a rocket.
He could run, too, though.
He could.
That's
could.
Not a Haskins
Well,
thing.
Listen, I don't know. I don't even know what I was going to say. you're not wrong.
Also, he said that he has one of the prettiest throwing motions and releases he's ever seen.
Those mechanics matter.
It does.
They do. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It absolutely does. When everything else breaks down around you, if your mechanics are good, you got a fighting chance. And he was a high pedigree guy, the number 15 overall pick in the year that he was selected in the first round. So the potential's there. It's always been there. He's just not had good situations as far as coaching and talent level on teammates. And there'll be no excuses for him this year. Best case scenario, he's got a decent offensive line, very good receiving core, and an excellent receiving running back. And
tight ends.
And the tight ends are very good receiving the ball as well. So he'll really have an opportunity in the preseason to show what he's got and try to win a job on that 53-man roster that you're going to be talking about yours soon.
I will. My way too early 53-man roster prediction is coming up shortly. Stay tuned for that.
Yes. Speaking of young guys on the team, Najee Harris getting quite the reputation for working very, very hard.
Yes. The man needs to take a break before he sprains something already.
The only thing he's in danger of spraining right now is his cranium.
Apparently. I don't know.
He's working hard.
He's working insanely hard.
Very physical.
To the point that the coaching staffs are saying, hey, we got to leave to go home.
Coach Faulkner, his running backs coach, told him, hey, man, got a wife and kids at home. I got to go see them. But I got to lock the building. Got to lock the building. I can't leave you here without a coach here. So I got to lock the building. You don't have to go home, but you got to get up out of here.
Gotta love the work ethic. Probably the best work ethic we've seen since, I don't even know. Who would you, James Harrison.
Probably Antonio Brown. You know, he used to stay after practice and catch 100-plus balls in the jug machine every single day. So that was a pretty serious work ethic on Antonio in his prime before he started getting into, like, crazy throwing gummy objects at people.
Yep.
Antonio Brown.
Yep. Yeah, so we will take that work ethic all day, every day, and twice on Sunday. So,
yeah, that's where it shows up.
Yeah, that's where we'll see it. Maybe Monday or Sunday night, maybe an occasional Thursday.
There's a Thursday. There's a Thursday.
We'll see it for sure.
One face you won't see, unfortunately, this year is going to be Tunch Ilkin.
Yeah.
Tunch did announce his retirement from working with the Steelers. Unfortunately, he is battling Lou Gehrig's disease. Which really takes a toll on your body. I have an uncle fighting it as well. And that's just rough as far as what it does to your ability to use your appendages. Kind of starts in your hands and that sort of thing. And then next thing you know, you can't do basic things like tie your own shoes anymore. So prayers up for Tunch. Hopefully he does well in his battle. But unfortunately, people don't typically win the battle against Lou Gehrig's. It's just a matter of time before he gets you.
Yeah. So definitely prayers up for him. Next up in the news.
Also prayers for the Stephon Tuitt family.
100%. Stephon Tuitt's brother was helping his girlfriend, I believe, move. And 6 foot what?
He's at least 6'5", 6'6". I saw a picture of him.
Very large
with Stephon,
man.
And they were eye to eye.
Yeah.
So very large human being for sure.
Yeah, in the road helping tie down a mattress to the roof of a car and was hit by a driver, whether drunk or on drugs, we don't know. It's hard to speculate. But he was hit and killed in a hit and run accident. So that is very, very sad for Stephon Tuitt and his family.
Absolutely tragic. You hate to ever hear about this sort of thing happening to anyone. But the fact that the person didn't have enough common decency to even stop, just an awful human being, whoever that was that did that. That's just awful.
Yeah. You hate to see that happen. So now moving on from the two sad stories, we'll get back into some other news.
Yeah,
now.
Back to hookers.
Yeah, back to hookers. Here we go. Malik Hooker, again, the safety, veteran safety in the NFL. But I believe I know he played for the Indianapolis Colts.
Two teams, yeah.
He's been around the league for quite some time. But he was in Pittsburgh on Thursday meeting with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So that is very interesting to see that they might be interested in widening or deepening that safety room.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked a lot about that, right?
Where, oh, ton.
Where there's viable starters, two good solid starters, one amazing, one a solid starter, and then not much for depth behind them. They really haven't invested in it as far as draft picks, free agency, any of that. Notable that Malik Hooker is coming off of an Achilles injury from 8 months ago. So this could just be a preliminary, let's see where he's at in the healing process. Where is he? Is he able to run already? Is he doing any of that? Is he still 2-3 months away from any of that stuff? Sometimes it's more the medical in interviews like this than it is anything else, as a, he may not be ready to even do any sort of practice on field yet. But if that went well, he is somebody who is a Pittsburgh native, so could be something that he would be interested in coming to Pittsburgh and being that number one backup safety.
Yeah, especially when you consider, especially when you consider nearing the end of your career. Mm-hmm. If you could finish in your hometown, how sick is that? Like to finish your career off being closer to home, closer to family, closer to things that you're just more accustomed to or used to or familiar with. That'd be really cool. And I think Malik Hooker would be an upgrade from what we have in the depth chart as far as backups.
Absolutely.
And could potentially come in and even be that, you know, he's a bigger safety in the sense of hit power. He could come up and be that dime safety playing over the middle and
Play kind of the role Cam Sutton did in the dime defense last year.
Would add some flexibility to the defense for sure.
Yeah, and it's with the talent level of the backup safeties right now, he would be a monster upgrade. And you wouldn't be as nervous about what do you do if one of the starters goes down because you'd have a high-quality backup in-house. So I would really hope that this is something that they're able to revisit if they're able to bring him in. That's a real, real improvement. In a secondary, that depth is the big question. Not necessarily starters, but depth is a big question. And he would be a huge upgrade there that we would both love to see personally.
Oh, absolutely. I would take Malik Hooker over most of our backups right now.
Yeah, all of them.
Well, yeah.
Even the backup corners. Like, that's true. I'd take him over Pierre or Justin Lane. Yeah.
I'm processing through the youth aspect compared to age, but I still think I'd take his... If we were in a pinch, needed a stop to win a game, I'd probably trust Malik Hooker in there over Antoine Brooks or any of those guys. So, yeah. I agree. But let's not get too far into those guys that might be on the team, might not be on the team. we're gonna hop on over there real quick.
It's time.
It is time.
Time for Cody's 53-man roster prediction. We gave you mine last week. We had some guesses to what Cody may do based off of some previous biases that he seems to have towards guys that he predicted to be on the team.
That's
maybe.
Okay. We'll talk about it.
Let me kick it over to you, Cody. This is your show now.
It is now the Cody by the Lake show. Here we go. first off, obviously, we're going to address quarterback.
The Rico by the Lake show?
Get out of here. You're foreshadowing. Stop it. That's not even foreshadowing. That's just saying it. Quarterback, obviously, Ben. And I have most of this set in the order that I believe, at least in the positions that are specific positions, in the order as far as like starting backups and stuff like that. And this is more of a midseason than a intro. And I know that it's the 53-man roster. I'm also doing a little bit of where I think things will be midseason. But Ben, obviously number one quarterback. I have Dwayne Haskins at number two, beating Mason Rudolph through what we're going to see in preseason and potentially any playtime in the regular season. I'm hoping he doesn't get any. That would be kind of bad.
It'd be real
bad. Unless we have like a 30-point lead and they throw him in there for fun. But whatever. And then I have Mason Rudolph also making the 53-man roster. Again, this was hard for me because I think Josh Dobbs he's a talented guy. I think that some systems, like he didn't pan out in Jacksonville, I think that was more of a system thing than him because I've seen him play and he plays well. I don't think he's drastically worse than Mason or anything like that. I think if I had to choose between Mason or Dobbs, I'd probably choose Dobbs just for his ability to scramble is a little bit better than Mason's and his...
Oh, drastically better.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
Yeah. I was trying to be polite.
Dobbs is a very good athlete and by far the best athlete in the quarterback room.
Yeah.
But the other guys probably have better arms.
So Ben, Dwayne, Mason, Josh Dobbs hopefully being retained on the practice squad, not being signed off with the potential of making the team next year if we lose Ben, you know, at the end of this year. Running backs. Najee Harris, the obvious number one. I debated it. Thought he could have been cut. We're not sure. Benny Snell, the number two. I think Benny Snell has proven himself to be a solid backup. I think, again, we talked about this before the draft, because we weren't sold on drafting a running back. Benny Snell hasn't been given the opportunity to prove whether or not he could be a feature back. So I think Snell has a lot of upside to him still, and we're going to see more of him than maybe a lot of people would like, because I think they're going to try using Najee in different ways. And I think this is the time that we get to see that double, that, you know, throw both Benny Snell and Najee Harris in the backfield and see what happens. I think this is the year that if we're going to do it, we could do it. Kalen Ballage is my number three. I think the pedigree that he's already developed in the NFL and the rapport that he has as an NFL running back will play into the factor of him making it over other guys. And then the fourth and final running back I have Pittsburgh keeping is Anthony McFarland, specifically probably for special teams. We discussed this a little bit before the show. It's not often they don't keep four. I'm curious to see if they decide to keep three this year and stow away some guys on the practice squad, but we will have to wait and see. At fullback, Derek Watt, that's no surprise.
Hmm.
I don't even know. There's not another fullback on the team. So
sure is.
Huh? Oh, my gosh. They're not putting Henry Mundo at fullback. Stop, James.
Position flexibility, I'm telling you.
All right, here we go. Wide receivers. Juju Smith-Schuster, no surprise. Chase Claypool, no surprise. Deontay Johnson, James Washington, Ray-Ray McCloud. And I have us keeping a sixth wide receiver, Mr. Rico Bussey Jr. himself. Now, I had us drafting Rico Bussey in one of my mock drafts. We didn't do that, but we did go out and get him as an undrafted free agent guy.
A high priority one.
Very high priority. And I think the reason we keep six here is I think you can start prioritizing Ray-Ray in different schemes, but keeping him off the field for the most part to make sure he's staying healthy and staying fit. Because if he goes down, you don't really have a good kick returner after that or punt returner unless you want to throw Deontay Johnson back there. And I don't think they do. I think there comes a point as a wide receiver where you prove yourself as a returner, but you prove yourself also as a good wide receiver, and they don't prioritize you as a returner because you're so valuable at the wide receiver position. And I think Deontay's at that point. We saw AB get to that point as well. And so I think Rico Bussey, the addition of that sixth wide receiver, gives you someone who's still fast, can still jump up and high point a ball fairly well, and maybe fight out some other, you know, deep corners or safeties in the long ball. I think Rico Bussey has a great route running tree as on long routes, on deep routes, and I think that having that sixth wide receiver will help not only our wide receivers but also Ben.
And you gotta look at it from a realistic perspective. I like the idea of keeping six guys. Two of the top guys are going to be unrestricted free agents, right? Juju will be an unrestricted free agent again, and then James Washington also. So you could have some turnover in the group. Rico having just signed his rookie deal. Rookie deals are always at least 3 or 4 years, even though you don't really hear about that, because that's like the minimum of what they do with these guys. So you'd have somebody on the roster for the future in case you're not able to retain those guys. I can't imagine Pittsburgh does retain both Juju and James Washington.
I would love it, but I'd be shocked.
And there's a chance they lose both of them, realistically. Like, you can only sign so many guys. I would think they'll probably prioritize Juju. And then if Washington shows enough this year, somebody will probably throw $7 to $10 million a year at him.
Yep.
And you can't justify that for your number four. If somebody's doing that for their number two or three, that's one thing. But when he's your four, that's a whole nother ball game. Yeah. So.
And that I genuinely believe that's why Pittsburgh's been trying to keep him on the bench for the most part.
So he doesn't get a lot of stats.
Yeah, Pittsburgh kept him on the bench so much last year. And then when you saw him, he was making big plays. And you're like, yep. Why isn't this guy on the field more? Well, because they don't want someone else to pay him. I think Pittsburgh knows what they got in him, and they're trying to make sure they can keep him at a cheaper deal.
Mr. Dependability. That's
absolutely.
Yeah.
Tight ends. No surprise here. Eric Ebron, Pat Freiermuth. And then I have us keeping Zach Gentry. I know that James went with, I believe, Kevin Rader.
Yes.
But I think Gentry, with the progress we've seen from him in the, I mean, he was always a decent catching receiving tight end. I think with the hitting the weight room the last 2 years, I think he might be improving on the blocking.
I hope he does, man, because that's what's holding him back right now.
It is what's holding him back.
That's it. If he could prove himself to be a good blocker, there's no doubt in my mind that they'd keep him over Kevin Rader. Just what we saw last year, Rader was more developed as a blocker. That's why I went that direction personally. But I could see it with Zach with a little bit more production, a little bit more development. Absolutely, he could make the team.
Fair enough. Offensive linemen, I just jumbled these guys all together. I'm going to go through the list. James, if you want me to stop so you can talk about somebody, feel free.
I will.
Kevin Dotson.
Listen, here's Kevin.
Chukwuma Okorafor.
All right.
Zach Banner.
Yeah.
Coming off the knee injury.
Mm-hmm.
David DeCastro.
Mm-hmm.
Kendrick Green. Those are going to be my starting five.
I've heard of them.
Yeah, he hasn't signed yet. Thanks for the two strawberries. Dan Moore Jr.
All right.
The other rookie. Aviante Collins.
Heard of him.
And BJ Finney.
All right.
BJ Finney being the main backup center. And then Dan Moore Jr. and Aviante Collins. Both probably being a little bit more flexible playing guard or tackle. I don't think we'd want to see Aviante Collins switching.
No, he's but a little more of a guard.
I think he's going to – I think those guys, if you have an injury, you could trust these guys to finish off a game in those certain positions. Again, Dan Moore Jr. being the rookie, Aviante Collins having the NFL experience, I think those guys have their own individual value based on that.
Yeah, and I think Finney is about as close to a lock as you're going to get to from what is projected to most likely be a backup offensive lineman. I don't know if you've seen any of the videos of him on Steelers.com.
I have not.
He's looking a lot better. He admits that last year when he was signed by the Seahawks, then COVID hit and he couldn't find anywhere to work out. He literally, like, he was in a new city. Nobody knew him. He couldn't go to the facility because he wasn't allowed.
Fair.
He was worried about getting injured outside of the team facility because if you do, you can get cut,
yep.
Which has happened to two guys already this year. Two offensive linemen, I think one from the Broncos and one from somebody else, suffered season-ending injuries and then were released by the team because they did it outside the facility.
Dang.
So he was worried about that and admits that he showed up in Seattle overweight and out of shape. So he didn't play well there. They trade him to Cincinnati. Cincinnati says the same thing. You know, you don't look good. You're not playing good. You're out of here. And now he's back to square one, back with the Steelers that gave him his first chance. And he looks good, man. He looks like he's carrying his weight good and in better shape than he has been probably in a couple of years. So,
well, good.
Yeah.
I look forward to seeing what he has in the preseason.
And you know what? This is a real opportunity for him because what if DeCastro decides to hang him up after this year?
Don't talk that negativity first off.
I'm just saying.
I know.
All of his best friends on the offensive line are gone now, man. You know, Foster's gone. Villanueva is gone. Pouncey's gone. Like, they all left, man. DeCastro's the only one left. So you have to wonder if after this year, if Ben retires, if he'll retire as well. If he does, Finney's got a real opportunity because he plays best as a guard.
Yeah.
So you slap him in there at the guard position, and you know what? Hey, maybe Kevin you're Dotson, still doing
BJ Finney? I'd take that.
Yeah, with Green in the middle?
Yeah.
I like Greens on the Steelers.
Of course
you Kevin do. Green, Joe Green. We got a serious Green tradition.
We got a Harris tradition, too, going on now.
Yeah, true. Remember the Eric Green it was, the tight end?
Oh, no.
You remember him? No. You're too young
I'm
for
too
him.
Young.
He's the biggest tight end the Steelers ever had, man. He was up to 300 pounds at one point. Dear. He was quick, too.
That's just that sixth offensive lineman.
Yeah, that's what he was. Sorry.
That's okay. Moving on to D linemen. No surprise with the top three, Tyson Alualu, Cameron Hayward, Stephon Tuitt.
Who?
Get out. Now, my last three guys, because I have us keeping six, Isaiah Bugs.
All right.
That's the one that James is going to be like. Isaiah Loudermilk. I think he's a sell. And Henry Mondeau.
No surprise there at all.
Henry Mondeau. I have him staying on the D-line position. James had him switching up positions a little bit.
He's doing everything on my team.
However, I do feel like that he has the flexibility that they could use him. And that's the majority reason of why I kept him on the team. Not because he's good, but... James is getting
upset.
So I got
a question for you.
James is getting... Tell me. Ask me.
Wormley.
I don't think we're keeping Wormley.
After signing a two-year deal?
I don't know. I just think that, and again, maybe they move Bugs to the practice squad. And I just wasn't sold on Wormley last year.
Nah, I'm not sold on him either.
I'm not sold on him.
I think the Steelers like him a lot more than I like him. That's my concern.
That's why I put
him on mine. I didn't want him there. I don't really see the point.
I'm going to tell you, I'm putting on this list is so hard because it's things that I think will happen,
yeah.
And it's things that I want to happen. It's
yeah.
combined.
Yeah.
So
it's such a fine
that is
line.
That D line is the one that I want to happen. That yeah. is the D line I want right there, because that would be, I think Bugs.
That's the biggest upside.
It is.
I think.
I think Loudermilk could come in and play better nose tackle than Wormley.
Oh, stop.
Dead serious.
He's not a nose.
I think he could play it better than Wormley. Dude's massive. Move bodies around like crazy. Maybe I'm being dramatic. Anyways, but that's the those six D line are the ones that I think Pittsburgh will keep. Moving on to middle linebacker. Devin Bush, no surprise. Buddy Johnson, no surprise. Robert Spillane, no surprise. Miles Killebrew.
All right.
The flexibility. That is my reasoning.
Ability to flex.
Just like that, James. James is flexing the muscles. He's showing off here right now. Thank God my wife's upstairs.
Stop it. So no Vince for you.
No,
huh?
Vince. I Vince was
no Marcus Allen.
No Marcus Allen.
No UG3.
No UG3. I think UG3 will stay on the practice squad. But I genuinely believe that Vince Williams' time in Pittsburgh has come to an end. I think he's getting too old. I think he's on he's past his prime by far. And I just don't think with, you know, if you look at the guys we have, the guys that I said, Devin Bush going into his, third year, Buddy Johnson going into his first year, Robert Spillane going into, I believe, his third. He's just proven last year in the hole with Derrick Henry that he's not afraid of contact. And then you have Miles Killebrew with just the flexibility. Now, again, don't get me wrong. If you want to take off Rico Bussi at wide receiver and put on Vince Williams as the fifth middle linebacker, I'd be okay with that. But I don't think if they only keep four, which I'm assuming they're going to do in my 53-man roster, I think he's the odd man out.
Yeah, it's real tough for me because one side of it, I look at Vince last year, and he was number six in the entire NFL in tackles for loss. For a large portion of the season, he was leading the NFL, and that was not even playing full-time. They didn't really even play him in nickel downs. It was mostly just in the base. So it shows his extreme ability against the run. He's so dang good. But then when it comes to trying to stick with those ultra athletes, you know, Pittsburgh just didn't even put him in the situation because they knew better, you know? Like, you can't have him trying to cover Nick Chubb. You can't have him trying to contain Lamar Jackson. It's not going to happen, you know? Like, there's a lot of really serious athletes in these running back and even quarterback positions in the Steelers division opponents right now. And you got to have some guys with some pretty serious athleticism. And that's where you have people like Devin Bush and even Robert Spillane. I'm not going to say he's a serious athlete, but he's a step above what Vince is right now. And I think Buddy Johnson is as well. As much as I really want Vince on the team, it is tough not to read between the lines and think that he might be about done.
Yeah. Yep. So that was my reason for not keeping him on the team as the fourth or fifth middle linebacker. Again, if you kept five, sure, keep him. Whatever, that doesn't bother me. I think the top four, though, are those guys with the youth and the flexibility of Killebrew. I think that is my reason. I know that's my reasoning for keeping them. Moving on to outside linebackers. TJ Watt.
What?
Shocker. Alex Highsmith.
Starting outside linebacker.
Starting outside linebacker. Whatever, James. And Quincy Roche, no surprise there with the rookie coming in. And I believe, James, that the fourth outside linebacker is not currently on the team.
I think there's a good chance that you're right.
I did this last year at running or at wide receiver.
Yeah,
and the following week we went out and got Ray McLeod. So I believe the fourth outside linebacker is not currently on the team yet, and I believe we will only keep four. Obviously, you may stash some guys on the practice squad. You still have some guys actually on the team that could be practice squad players. I think there's, Jamer Jones.
Oh, yeah, all of them, really.
T-Gray Scales, yeah.
Yeah, all those guys. You could put Cassius Marsh on the practice squad if you wanted to.
Yep. So those are the four or three that I think we're going to keep, with the fourth one not being on the team yet. Cornerback position. Joe Hayden, Cameron Sutton, Justin Lane, James Pierre, Shakir Brown, Trey Norwood.
All right.
I know Trey Norwood is on paper a safety, but they've already talked about using him in different formations and all that other stuff. Now, there is a reason for this that I'll get to in a minute. But going through, Joe Hayden's a lock. Cameron Sutton's a lock. Justin Lane and James Pierre, the closest thing to a lock that I think you could ever have without having a lock. I don't know. I don't know how to say that.
I agree. They're not locks like Hayden and Sutton are, but it would be a huge shock for either one of them to not make the team.
Yeah. Huge. Unless something else happens with the legal thing with Justin Lane, he's on the team.
Yeah.
Shakir Brown being the highly sought after undrafted free agent that we've talked about so many times. And then Trey Norwood being the, what did he call him?
Like a jack of all.
No, what was the was knife it? Thing? The knife.
The Swiss Army knife.
Yes, the Swiss Army knife. Oh my gosh. Out of Mike Tomlin's mouth, the Swiss Army knife of, that is Trey Norwood. So I have him at the cornerback position, assuming that will be his primary position. Again, knowing he can play safety as well. But moving on to safety, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Terrell Edmonds. We've talked about them time and time again. Minkah's set in stone. Terrell Edmonds could lose his job, but most likely not going to. Antoine Brooks Jr., Lamont Wade, and a fifth safety who is not currently on the team.
You use a lot of not on teams.
I use two. And this is only because the hooker was in Pittsburgh.
Oh, man.
Listen, if Malik Hooker, if they hadn't already looked at a safety, I'd be like, nah, they're going to stick with who they got. But with them even...
And it's not even the first one they've brought in.
Correct. If they didn't already, if I didn't see the interest that Pittsburgh has in a safe, in any kind of safety outside of Pittsburgh, I probably wouldn't have done this. But I genuinely think they're going to sign somebody who will be on the 53-man roster, whether it's Malik Hooker or another undrafted free guy, a free agent, or someone who's, you know, been in the league 4 or 5 years and bouncing from practice squad to practice squad. I think they're going to sign somebody. So I think we'll have five safeties. Again, technically six if you include Trey Norwood, but those are the guys that I think we keep. Kicker, Boz for president. Chris Bosma is for making president. It. Punter, PH3.
Yeah, man, Percy.
I saw, was it Steelers Depot that posted something this week that said, buy or sell, will Jordan Bear will beat out Presley Harvin III? I was like, sell, hard sell. not a chance. He's beating him out. And then long snapper, Cameron Kennedy. I don't think they get away from him. He's been there for how long?
Over Christian Kuntz?
I think.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, probably. So that's going to wrap up my 53-man roster. What do you think of my 53?
I like it. I think you're real heavy in the defensive backfield with 11 guys there. That's probably a little more than they normally do. But I also could see it happening because there's just so many questions, you know? Of the guys that are going to be on it, there's only six locks, and they usually keep at least 10 usually defensive backs. So that's a lot of question marks.
If I had to take one of these guys off the team,
that's the next question I was going to have.
Yep, it would be Lamont Wade.
Lamont Wade.
I think Lamont Wade would be the first one off out of either safety or corner.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I had to take another one off, which I don't think that I would have to, but it would probably be Shakir Brown being the undrafted guy. I think Trey Norwood beats him out. And the fact that James Pierre was playing more than Justin Lane at the end of the year last year, I don't think I can remove either of them justifiably for someone like Shakir Brown who hasn't played a down in the NFL. So that would be my going through the list.
And if you were going to take Lamont Wade off, who would you put on?
At the safety position?
No, whatever position.
Oh.
If that was position. Your edit, if your first person, if you were going to edit it, was Lamont Wade off, who's the person coming on? Even if, let me rephrase, if it's somebody, if there's one that you were unsure of, if you were going to take one person off and put another person on at any position, just to take the 53rd man of your roster off and put another 53rd man on, ooh, who would it be?
It would probably be Lamont Wade.
All right.
It probably would be. To add another one, I would probably add another... Oh, I don't want to do it. I'd probably add Vince Williams. I'd probably add another middle linebacker. with the injuries we saw at the middle linebacker position last year, it'd probably be Vince.
Yeah.
That would be my reasoning, and it makes sense.
Don't blame you one bit there, man. I'm glad we have some differing point of views on there because that makes it a little more entertaining when it comes time to actual roster cutdowns.
Yeah.
Which are still going to be a little ways ahead of us.
Sadly. I just want it to be kickoff, man. I just want it to be week one. I want preseason. No, I cannot wait for preseason. It
can't come fast enough.
Actually, no. I want training camp because we're going to be there. That'll be when it starts getting real. I'm getting excited, ready to go. Listen, again, we mean this. If you guys want to come to training camp with us, hit us up on social media. We are more than happy to, if you're along the way or want to meet us here, if you're closer to us than you are where they train. We'll gladly meet up, drive together, hang out, have a burger, whatever we got to do. what was it last time we went? We stopped at Burgatory on the way back.
Oh, yeah.
It was a good
man.
Time. Mm. So, yeah, we would love to see you guys hang out, chat Steelers. Don't be afraid to hit us up on social media. We will respond. Tweet at us, message us, add us as friends, whatever you got to do. We can't thank you guys enough for the support we're getting. We're excited for things to come in Steelers by the Lake and the things that we're going to be doing moving forward.
And don't forget also, when you give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else where you can find a rating type system, even on Facebook, if you give us a review on there, we will give you a shout out on the show. So that goes a long way for us, helps us climb the ranks of rated Steelers podcasts, which we rate pretty highly right now for a small time crew that's only been around for a couple of years now. So really appreciate any feedback, and especially the positive ones.
Absolutely. So thank you guys so much for listening. Again, be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Steelers by the Lake. And until next time, this is your hosts, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.